Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
Athletic director John Curry reached a separation agreement on Thursday that will pay Curry $2.5 billion.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
You son of a b-. You better not hire that coach who can't even have a decent record at Rutgers.
Legendary Pennsylvania jockey Jose Flores died after a sickening racing incident yesterday.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
You're disgusting. We're going to hire the man that gave 69 points to the Butch Jones offense?
Nice.
No longer a ball for life. Seriously, John, f*** you.
On 1340 WKGN.
Spike the Elephant may be the happiest elephant in the world. Why is he the happiest elephant in America, you might ask? He joined six female elephants, Ambika, Shantai, Bozi, Kamala, Swarna, and Maharani, in his elephant pit.
Do you want to be average? Grow a pair of you. Hour three headlines coming at you right now. No need to wait. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John. Got some new bracketology for you.
Oh, who is it? Who is it? Joey Andy, Brackets or Jerry Palm?
Andy Katz.
The Catman?
A new one.
Not the Catman.
A new one.
Oh, no.
Catman has Tennessee. What?
Andy Katz sounds like a jazz player to me.
I thought you were meowing.
No, I was.
Meow.
Oh, that would have been meow. Good, I was doing my scat.
Andy Katz. Meow.
Shut up.
Meow. Has Tennessee as. Meow. Number one seed.
Shoo-bow!
In the Midwest region, Kansas City playing the 16 seed Detroit. And the winner of the 8-9 matchup between Kansas State and NC State, Michigan State, the 2 seed in that region. He's also got Michigan, Virginia, and Duke as the other ones.
Michigan, Virginia, Duke, Tennessee. That feels like the four best teams in the country to me.
That's the consensus right now.
I think those are the four best teams in the country. I know there's still basketball to be played, a lot of it, but that feels like that will be the 4-1 seeds.
We will see if Michigan State has something to say about it in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Duke, Virginia, Saturday. Huge game.
It is.
Huge.
Yeah, I guess maybe we shouldn't pencil Duke in at this point without Trey Jones. We'll see how they look without a point guard.
Got to pull for Duke.
Who do they have Tennessee as the 2 seed? Who is Tennessee's 2 seed in that region?
Sparty.
In what region?
Midwest.
Okay.
Pulling for Duke Saturday, right?
Shoop up! Meow. I was doing a little scatting.
We have to. Because if Virginia wins, they'll get number one. So we got to pull for Duke.
Yeah. I mean, it's not guaranteed Tennessee is going to get number one.
Got to pull for Wisconsin, too.
Yeah. I'll be mad. I will be mad if they put Michigan at number one over Tennessee, if Tennessee beats the hell out of Alabama.
Even if Michigan wins on the road at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, Michigan just doesn't have a win as good as ours.
No, they don't, but they also don't have a loss.
They don't, I know, but maybe they would if they played Gonzaga or Kansas, you know what I mean?
We need to pull for Wisconsin and Duke tomorrow, and that number one is ours.
I do think when you look at Tennessee's upcoming schedule, we're going to get to number one. We're going to get to number one.
It's like Ben Lee's flirting with his favorite host during the show.
The mirror.
Longing eyes.
And I hear Trey asking Ben if he can sit in with him again today.
Right in the middle of headlines.
Two days in a row.
You just can't stop a love affair.
They can just not do it right in front of us. They could at least have the decency to do that.
Yeah, at least go out back.
At least wait till a commercial break or something.
The Chiefs have unexpectedly had to resod their field for the AFC title game after 10 inches of snow last week. 10 inches. That's a lot. Last week's Colts versus Chiefs game was played in the snow, as you may remember, and that was the total accumulation at the end of the day, 10 inches. So they had to resod the whole field.
Kill for 10 inches.
Yeah,
of
same.
Snow. Of snow.
Same. Wait, what?
Of snow.
Yeah. I don't know where to go with that one. During the divisional round of this year's playoffs, though, The field was messed up pretty good. The Arrowhead Stadium field was not playable this week, and Kansas City had to re-sod the whole thing. Looks good now. Have you seen the field? Did you see any of the clips of them putting the sod down?
No, I didn't. I didn't seek out the pictures of the sodding of the field.
Well, the field looks great.
The field,
it looks like a brand new field that hasn't been played on. It hasn't.
I think that's the biggest Knoxville Sports Radio topic that I have just had the biggest disconnect from.
The Chiefs' new field?
No. Like a couple years ago when everyone was mad about
Tennessee's
field.
And Jimmy Himes became a grass expert.
Right, and like there were people who were constantly calling the show wanting to talk about it whenever I was doing radio. That's the biggest disconnect I've ever had. Like recruiting was, you know, probably second or third, and Lady Vol's probably up there as well. But the field condition, the Shields-Watkin turf, that's probably the one I've always just been like, okay, guys, relax a little bit.
Our guys are getting their ankles ripped off because of the dadgum grass.
Mad that Butch Jones had fired the long-standing expert. Like that's the one I've had the biggest disconnect from. So, no, I haven't really looked into what the Chiefs are doing with their
field. We need to bring in somebody that's a Bermuda expert instead of fescue. We got crabgrass growing in the dang sod. Fire them all. I will say it is kind of embarrassing, though, to have an ugly field in the winter. Like, you remember what Oakland's field looked like on that Monday Night Football game? It was a real eyesore.
Game more headlines.
Yes, I do. Dan Enos is disputing the claim that he walked out on Alabama without telling Nick Saban he was leaving to take the Miami offensive coordinator job.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen those reports circulating the last few days.
Yeah, they said they got to the I guess the coaches meeting, and Saban looked around and said, where the bleep is Dan? And that other Alabama coaches were afraid to speak up because they knew that Dan was headed to Miami.
And nobody told Saban.
Nobody told Saban. They said a staffer went to go look in Dan's office, and the only thing left in there was a pencil on the desk. So I thought, well, maybe he's already went and moved into Loxley's old office, Mike, for the offensive coordinator. And nope. Enos was on a plane to Miami. Dan Enos tweeted out that that's not true and that he told them.
I would never leave an employer without telling them I was doing so. No ghosting here. Nothing but respect for CNS and Alabama. Bottom line, business is business, and it was time for me to exit. Wish all the best to RTR, CNS, and the program. This guy uses a lot of acronyms. For those of you that don't know, that's Coach Nick Saban. And Roll Tide Roll, which is weird to use those acronyms like that. But that's what he did.
The CNS did catch me by surprise a little bit.
Isn't that some kind of neurological condition? Clinical neural or some kind of test for nurses or something? What am I thinking of? Central nervous system?
I was thinking CBS, like, you know, the TV station.
That's a corporate broadcasting. So what is sent? I don't know. So Dan Enos says he didn't just walk out on Alabama. That had to be an awkward meeting with Saban.
Beagle tweets in asking if I think it was Butch who had to go look. You think Saban made Butch go look?
I hope so.
That's probably a good chance. He's one of the only few coaches still there and senior analyst. I guess he was just an analyst last year. As an analyst, like, that's probably one of his duties. Surely he didn't have to go beat the guy looking. Surely they got somebody younger doing that. But maybe.
Butch would probably not remember where his office was. He'd probably report on the wrong office.
Get a lot of pressure.
Mess that up, too.
Get a lot of pressure.
Jesse.
Shout out for Dan Enos, though, just for leaving. I'm out of here.
Jesse Jackson is offended that the White House served Clemson a fast food meal. He said it was disgraceful, according to USA Today. The Reverend said he was offended that President Trump served fast food to Clemson. The national champions deserved better, said Jesse Jackson, a native of Greenville, South Carolina. It was disgraceful. Many people felt offended by it. I felt offended by it. He said it is beneath the status of their accomplishment.
NFL? Okay. Did he make it a racial thing? Or is he just saying their status is champions?
I don't know. It just happens to be the Reverend Jesse Jackson versus President Donald Trump, so I'd say there's a little racial factor.
Well, yeah, Jesse Jackson is obviously a civil rights activist.
Yes. There's definitely
I didn't know if he was trying to make it a racial thing. I saw a lady on ESPN, the mediator of First Take, made it a racial thing. I think it's a class thing, like a college thing. Like I do think that they wouldn't have served professional athletes fast food. I don't think it was a racial thing. I would say there's more white players on the college football team than there is in many of these championship sports. But I do think it was a class thing. I do think a professional team would have looked and said, no, we're not doing this. I do think that was an angle that jumped out to me, was that it was we're gonna serve these college kids fast food.
Yeah. Urban Meyer is close to joining Fox Sports as a college football analyst.
Wow, not going back to ESPN,
according
huh?
to a report. No,
I guess now doesn't Fox carry most of the Big Ten?
They have a lot, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that makes sense.
Urban nearing a deal to join Fox Sports as an analyst. He could work as either an in-studio analyst or a color commentator for game coverage for Fox Sports. A Fox Sports spokesman declined to comment to USA Today Sports about this last night.
You know what they say? Time is a flat circle.
What do you mean?
Just keep repeating the same things. Urban Meyer leaves coaching. Goes back to the broadcast booth. We'll be coaching again soon.
Then
we just keep
the broadcast
doing the same things over and over and over. We're just doomed to keep living the same life and having
sound
the same
like Matthew
dreams.
McConaughey right now.
He's the one who said it.
NASCAR Hall of Famer Glenn Wood is dead at 93.
R.I.P.
And the Yankees added a reliever. Adam Ottavino.
Added Jesus Christ?
No.
Said they couldn't hit a curveball, but maybe you can pitch. Headlines today were brought to you by our friends at Dean Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. They have over 100 years of combined service experience, and they are proud to serve the Knoxville and Nashville area homeowners, as well as businesses, builders, and large commercial companies with all HVAC, contractor services, and plumbing. DeanPHC.com, 865-382-0849. We'll talk to Alan Bell of 247 Sports next as we kind of preview these playoff games. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, let's go to the phone lines. Let's grab Alan Bell from 247 Sports. Alan, it's championship weekend. If you had to pick one of these four teams to be the favorite to win the Super Bowl, who is it going to be?
If I had to pick one, it's going to be the New Orleans Saints. I think they feel comfortable in a dome, feel comfortable in Atlanta. That's basically their home away from home. So if I had to take one, I'd take the New Orleans Saints.
Saints-Rams, obviously a rematch earlier in the year. The Saints dominated a good portion of that game. The Rams ended up coming back, tying the game, only to lose. They couldn't stop Michael Thomas. But this go-round, I do feel like a big difference in this game, Alan, is that the Rams are much healthier than they were in that game and much healthier than the Saints overall. Aqib Talib being back for the Rams, that's a big deal because now you don't have to play a zone defense as much, and that's where Michael Thomas really went off in the first meeting. I think the Rams are healthier than the Saints. I kind of think the Rams might steal this game.
Yeah, they could, man. And, you know, you're exactly right in terms of Aqib Talib. Like, if you look at the Saints' offense, they really only have one wide receiver. It's Michael Thomas. Their number two is Alvin Kamara. Like, if Aqib can get on Thomas and even just limit him, it didn't have to stop him, shut him down completely. Just limit what he could do. Don't give up chunk plays. If you look at the Rams, their offense, Jared Goff since week 11 has been pretty pedestrian. This team is actually, if you look at them, the Rams are an old smash-mouth style football. Like, they just run the ball. So we saw what T.J. Anderson did last week against the Cowboys. Big question is going to be Todd Gurley. You know, how healthy is he in terms of, you know, reps that he's going to get? But, I mean, you look at this team, they're built on the ground. Jared Goff could still beat you on the play action. because you have to invest so much of your D on stopping their run. And that offensive line is nasty. Like, let's not kid around. The Rams' offensive line is ready to get after it. They're ready to fight. They've got five, basically, Taylor Lewan-style dudes out there. They're ready to go. So I'm with you, man. Like, the Saints don't lose with Drew Brees at home in the playoffs. He's 6-0. But this Rams team is different, man. And they, if they limit, you know, Jared Goff, limit any turnovers or anything like that, keep the ball on the ground, keep it out of Drew Brees' hand, the Rams could do this. They could go down there and take care of business. I'm not going to say easily, but they can handle their business.
See, that's where I'm having trouble going all out and picking the Rams is Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Like, he's been bad since week 11. You called him pedestrian. I think he's just been bad. And I do think there is a direct correlation and causation of Todd Gurley's health in that equation, because obviously Gurley makes that offense go. But, I mean, Jared Goff, what, 2-8 as an underdog? 2-8 against the spread as an underdog in his 10 games as an underdog? He doesn't play well when they aren't able to kind of front run. And I look at the Saints and I'm like, okay, Sheldon Rankins, he's hurt. You know, the defensive line for the Saints takes a big loss there. And, you know, this is maybe the worst matchup to not have your best defensive player in Rankins. Like, Gurley, C.J. Anderson are going to run the ball, and you're losing a big part of your defense. It's really a matchup that I can't figure out because, like I said, I think the Rams are better overall right now. But obviously, if it comes down to a winner-take-all game, Breeze over Goff seems like a no-brainer. Cody, you've been big on the Saints all year, right?
Yeah, and the Saints in the Dome, I mean, they've continued to prove that they are a different team at home. And L.A. coming across the country, we saw what happened the first time, Alan. I mean, do you think this game's kind of similar to that? Because the first time the Saints really controlled it, I know the Rams came back, but the Saints, you know, they dominated that first half and kind of put it on cruise control.
Yeah, they really did, man. And, like, that's the thing. Like, you know, what you guys both are saying is accurate. Like, Jared Goff is not a big game player at all. He needs weapons around him, you know, to get it going, and he really needs that run game. Whereas you look at Drew Brees, like, Drew Brees and Sean Payton were built for the bright lights, right? Like, they were built for this. That's what they, you know, that's where they excel. That's what they like, and especially at home. Like, they just don't lose, man. Like, they just don't lose in big game playoffs when they're there. So I'm with you, man. Like, I think the Rams are a better team, but you start looking at X factors like Brees, you know, even with, you know, Sean Payton's style of, you know, he'll go for fourth downs. I think they lead the NFL in terms of fourth down conversions. Like, they're not afraid to pull out every trick in the bag whatsoever at any time. So the Rams might be a better team. However, the Saints are going to bring it to you for 60 minutes. And what we saw last week, I think this is big for New Orleans, was that, you know, Philadelphia jumping out to a 14-0 lead. Like, we were all ready to count out New Orleans, you know, and just say the Nick Foles magic is back. This guy doesn't lose whatsoever. And the Saints, essentially after that, you know, fake punt in the second quarter, the Eagles didn't score again. I mean, the Saints are just, they're solid, man. So I don't know where to go with it in terms of, you know, a final score, but both these, it's going to be a good game. I can't wait for it. I can't wait for both of them.
Yeah, no, I love that we've focused a lot on Mahomes versus Brady in terms of the student, the teacher, the new generation, the old generation. I do think there's some parallels there on this coaching matchup with the Saints and Rams. Like, Sean McVay, is he not what Sean Payton was 12, 14 years ago?
Yeah.
In terms of just the young master, the young offensive mastermind, like, is Payton and McVay not comparable in that respect?
Oh, they absolutely are. I mean, that's exactly what Sean McVay is. Like, he is an offensive guru who knows what he's doing. And, you know, don't count out, like, the smartest thing that the Rams did when Sean McVay came there was stealing Wade Phillips as their defensive coordinator. So McVay doesn't even have to worry about the defense. He doesn't even talk to him. He just focuses on the offense, focuses on what Goff, the offensive line, Gurley, and Brandon Cooks, and everybody, what they're doing. So he spends 100% of the game focused on the offense. And, I mean, that's a great parallel, great example to give. Because, yeah, I completely agree with you in that regard.
Now, when we look at Mahomes versus Brady, I think the Chiefs are going to win comfortably. Cody says the Patriots. All year long, he said the Patriots are coming out of the AFC just because they're the Patriots. How do you lean here? Are you leaning towards Brady's postseason success and just Belichick's postseason success, or are you looking at Brady and the Patriots on the road being a completely different team? Who do you give the edge to in this game on Sunday?
All right, so first off, I think it's going to be another great game. Let me say this. if you took the Patriots name off their jerseys, right? Like, you just took it off.
Okay, I like where this is going. Yeah, let's
see that the Chiefs are such a better team than the Patriots are.
Remove the Patriot mystique, Alan. Rip down the Patriot mystique.
But there's a reason.
They really are. Like, the Chiefs are just a better team. Patrick Mahomes is a better quarterback right now, this year. He's a better quarterback. They've got better weapons in terms of Tyreek Hill. They've got Travis Kelce, who's essentially Gronk when Gronk was Gronk. He's not his style now. Kelce's younger. I mean, this is just a better team. But what you have to watch out for is this. You know, does Mahomes get, you know, a little nervous, right? Like, he hasn't all year, but does he get nervous, you know, in an AFC championship at home? Can the Patriots stop their chunk plays? The Patriots are built on running the ball and short yardage passing. So how much did they try to, you know, grind out 10, 11, 12, 13 play drives to keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands and keep it out of Tyreek Hill's hands? But back to what you were saying, the Chiefs are just a better team overall. So, I mean, I think I know that the Chiefs are just a better team. So it's hard to make a pick. But the Chiefs are a better team overall.
But I do think Cody's right. I do think, like, when you say remove the mystique, I don't think you can remove the mystique because there is going to be a moment either before the game or at halftime or in the fourth quarter when both Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are going to sit there and look across the sideline and see Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Like, I do think the mystique matters.
It does. I mean, it absolutely matters. There's a reason why all those stats are out there about, you know, Tom Brady has more playoff wins than 27 NFL franchises. There's a reason. And teams get nervous. They get the yips when they see Brady. Look at the Falcons. Look at the Jaguars last year in the AFC Championship. Like, that mystique is real, and it's there. You know, how does Andy Reid and Mahomes and squad, you know, how do they deal with that and keep pushing? And I'll say this, you know, whether it's right or wrong, you know, this entire, you know, underdog, you know, mentality that the Patriots have been pushing. They feel it, man. And, like, I've seen this team. We've all watched, the Patriots over the years. They are for real motivated. Tom Brady is for real motivated about this. And that usually means something. So, you know, again, it's going to be hard to pick it, but it's going to be one heck of a game, man. I cannot wait to watch this.
I do have a rule that if you see somebody getting ready to go do something and they're listening to 50 Cent's Minimen, that's a pretty good sign that they're locked in and going to be ready to go. I don't know if you know the lyrics to that, Cody, but it's many men wish death upon me. Like, it's a you against the world type of mentality song. So I do think that's the perfect underdog song. And as much as Brady and the Patriots want to keep talking about the underdog thing, and I think it's laughable, at the same time, it's not about what we think. It's about how they feel. And Alan's saying, yeah, it's very real with the Patriots and this underdog mentality. Alan, earlier in this show, we talked a lot about Eric Berry. There's a really good piece up on ESPN about Eric Berry and his impact not only on the Kansas City Chiefs team but on the community, obviously. Here in Knoxville, obviously, we love Eric Berry. I think this might be Eric Berry's last game in Kansas City. Am I crazy for thinking that?
No, you're not crazy to think it at all. And you hate to see it after, I mean, everything that this guy has gone through, right? I mean, we could just go down the list. Dealing with one of them would be life-changing. This guy's dealt with multiple. But no, man, you're not wrong. It definitely could be. And you hate to see it. You wonder what his career looks like. I mean, he'll certainly, you know, if he's gone from Kansas City, he'll certainly get picked up. But, you know, there's just not a lot of resume on the tape, for other teams to, you know, one, necessarily pay him, you know, a good amount of money.
Well, and this Achilles. Achilles injuries, I mean, he's been day-to-day since September, and maybe they didn't rush him back because, hey, they were rolling, but he comes back for two games, and then he's back on the bench. Like, I was reading some things, you know, apparently the Chiefs were really looking at trying to trade for Earl Thomas before Earl Thomas got hurt, kind of as a future move to kind of, you know, go and have their safety of the future. I just think this Achilles injury with Berry is just something that's going to be career defining.
It really could. I mean, and Achilles are brutal. And you look at, you know, that Earl Thomas report was correct. They really did want to do it. And, you know, the entire secondary in Kansas City is going to have to be revamped after this season anyway. So what you're saying makes complete sense because this team is pretty complete all across the board, really, except for their secondary. So after this year, it would make a lot of sense for them to move on. Hate to see it. Love Eric Berry. Love everything about Eric Berry. But you know what? NFL teams got to, you know, they got to plan for the future, and Eric might not be there in Kansas City.
Cody and I have had a long debate pretty much all year, but it's really intensified this week as we're trying to find the best possible Super Bowl matchup. He wants Patriots versus Saints. That way there's a good versus evil type of feel. Tom Brady, the Patriots, they can play the villain. I want Chiefs versus Saints. What do you think the best possible matchup is for both entertainment value and in the NFL's mind?
Yeah, that's a great question because, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is I think about the national championship game in terms of fatigue. Like, everyone's tired of Alabama. They're tired of Clemson. So how much does, you know, New England fit into that? Are people tired of it? Like, Tom Brady's name gets results. He gets views. But how tired are people of that? I think it'd be exciting to see, you know, kind of a new style, you know, in the Super Bowl. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, Drew Brees in there would be very, very entertaining. In terms of if he gets one more Super Bowl, where does he land, you know, in an all-time list? Where do we put him on, like, a GOAT status type thing? But I think it'd be fun to see two young teams, see a Chiefs-Rams. And it's not necessarily going to be Jared Goff. A lot of the talk's going to be about Sean McVay. But a lot of it's going to be Todd Gurley and how good he is. And I don't know if you guys watch a lot of, you know, post-game press conferences with Todd Gurley. Like, he's a chill, relaxed type dude. But he'll say exactly what it's on his mind, and he has no problem doing that. The Rams are a fun team. They got stars all across the board. So I'm going to say Chiefs-Rams would probably be the most exciting, at least for me.
That gives you your biggest market left in the playoffs, too. You would get the L.A. Yep. market. Although, to me, though, it's kind of weird, though, because the biggest market seems like the least interesting team for me.
You think the Rams are the least interesting team?
Personally, yeah, I do.
Yeah. It's tough, man, because you're right. Like, you look at Los Angeles, and, like, not only is it a huge market, but it's very important for the league moving forward as they're trying to integrate two teams out there. But it's not like L.A. really gets a lot of eyeballs. Like, you know, you look at the Chargers-Patriots game last week, at least here in Nashville in terms of TV ratings, it was the worst in terms of all four playoff games. So, you know, I'm with you. Like, it's a huge market, but it doesn't necessarily get a lot of eyeballs.
I think that's just the Jared Goff factor. I mean, I think he's the least interesting quarterback of the four.
He's boring.
Yeah, he is. He says nothing. Yeah, I mean, you're right. And his numbers are pedestrian. And I'm with you. It could be worse than pedestrian. I mean, it has not been good at all. So, yeah, I mean, I can't argue with one bit.
Alan Bell, 247, is the NFL. You're the main editor over there now, right? Like, what's your official job title, Alan?
Yeah, managing editor, for sure.
Managing editor. He's the boss of the 247 NFL coverage. They do some good work. Alan, appreciate your time as always. We'll talk soon.
Man, appreciate you guys. Have a great weekend, and talk soon.
All right, man. I've loved seeing Alan kind of progress at the same rate as me. We did some stuff together back in 2015 to see us both still trying to stick around the sports industry, and Alan's gotten a lot better just through reps. It's, I guess, someone I like keeping an eye on. I love when he comes on and talks to us.
He's my favorite guest.
You say that about everybody except the college football professor.
Adam McClintock?
Yeah, you say
I didn't
that.
Like him.
You say that about everybody except him.
I didn't like
Will
him.
Warren. You love Will Warren. Jesse. Oh, I love Jesse.
I like Jesse.
We don't have very many guests, but Alan's good. I like talking to Alan.
Nothing against Adam McClintock. I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Yeah. No,
he just wasn't my favorite interview.
Sure. No, I mean, not everyone can be your favorite. You have to have someone to root against. This
didn't really like Albert Haynesworth either.
Although your guest list is looking a lot like your NFL teams. You got like four or five favorite guests. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, final push before championship weekend. We covered a lot about Alabama in hour two. If you're looking for that, the podcast is up hour two. You can find that on foxsportsknoxville.com. Shout out to our guys at 245 Tech. Talked a lot about Tennessee basketball in hour two. I want to do NFL for the rest of this show because this championship weekend is fascinating. I love it. These are the four best teams. And I meant to ask Alan, I had it in my head, of who he thought the best defense was remaining, because I think the offenses, well, at least we know we have the top four offenses. And arguing about who's better, I think the Chiefs are the best offense. If you told me you thought the Saints or the Rams were, I wouldn't argue. If you told me you had the most confidence in the Patriots on offense in the playoffs, can't really argue with that either. I do think that one unit is, or one team in each game is going to have a defense that plays better than the other, and that'll be the difference. What defense do you have the most confidence in right now?
Rams have the most star power.
For sure.
But the Saints would get my vote.
The Saints?
The Saints defense at home.
See, I might have agreed with you until they lost Sheldon Rankins. That's their best defensive lineman. He's been a beast, and he tore his Achilles against the Eagles. I really think that just matchup-wise, that's the last team you want to have a weak interior defensive line against. And, you know, Gurley and C.J. Anderson up the middle is going to be tough to stop.
Well, yeah, it certainly will.
But the dome gets rocking, and that defense does play better, and they have been good against the road so far. Excuse me.
And when they went and got Eli Apple and proved their secondary, I think that was a big change for them too.
Yeah.
Through the season. So does that end up being more of a duel between Breeze and Goff? Because if that's the case, Breeze is winning that. I mean, if it comes down to that, you guys talked about the pedestrian numbers from Goff recently. If it comes down to that again and it's a 45-35 kind of game like the first one, the Saints are going to have more points at the end of the day.
I almost feel like we've gone a little bit too far against Goff, and I felt that way heading into the Dallas game, and he didn't play great against Dallas, but he did enough. I don't think we've talked enough about Drew Brees' recent run. Like, I don't feel like Brees has been great. Really, their last four games, I mean, if you look at Brees' numbers, he is not the same Drew Brees. Like, if you just go back to the Dallas game, right? And maybe a big part of this is that, you know, three of these four games were on the road, and we know that Drew Brees is a different quarterback at home than he is the road. But if you look, starting at the Dallas game, 18 of 28, 127 yards, one touchdown, awful, one interception. Against Tampa Bay, 24 of 31, 200 yards, one touchdown, one interception. At Carolina on Monday night, 23 of 35, 200 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Now, again, those are on the road, and he's been better at home. But in the Pittsburgh game, that was for the one seed for them, 27 of 39, 326 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions. So, like, in his last four games, he's got three touchdowns, three interceptions, probably averaging somewhere around 230 yards. Been pretty pedestrian. I know we keep using that word a lot, but I feel like we've been a little bit too hard on Goff and not really focusing enough on Brees, who, I mean, even if you go before that, they beat down Atlanta on Thanksgiving. He threw four touchdowns, but he was 15 of 22 for 171 yards.
Yeah, but four touchdowns.
But I'm just saying the yards weren't necessarily there either.
Well, the game against the Steelers was kind of the opposite of that because they had rushing touchdowns in that game, but he still threw for over 300 yards against the Steelers. What about the Eagles last week?
28 of 38, 300 yards, two touchdowns, one interception. So good.
Good, but not.
But not like overwhelming.
Not Mahomes level.
And I do think that this Rams defense is healthy now, and we've talked about how good their defensive line is playing, and Tlaib's back, and they're going to play some more man-to-man, and, you know, if you could stop Michael Thomas, I mean, the Saints offense does get a little bit or a lot more stoppable.
Probably going to be a big week for Alvin Kamara.
It's going to have to be.
Tlaib matching up against Michael Thomas, and you've got Donald messing things up in the interior, so you got to try to swing it out to your running back a lot, I would imagine.
This may make me feel really stupid on Monday. I really think the Rams are going to win this game.
Oh. Oh.
I really think the Rams are going to win.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing? You mocking me there?
No, that's my shocked
genuine
expression.
Genuine shock, okay.
Huh? Rams? I thought we were both on board with the Saints.
The more I've talked about it and the more I've looked at it this week, I think the Rams are going to win. And like I said, there might be a certain point where I realize, wait, I just picked Jared Goff to win in the Superdome.
Yeah.
Against Drew Brees.
It's not going to be good.
But I feel like the best players on this field are going to be Todd Gurley and Aaron Donald.
I would agree with that.
I think they got the two best players in the game.
Nah,
I think
Drew Brees.
Okay, maybe. At this point, I'm taking Gurley and Donald. I think the Rams have the best offensive player, and I think the Rams have the best defensive player.
I'm really excited about these games.
They're going to be great. They're going to be great. And like I said, there might be a point where I realize I picked Jared Goff to outduel Breeze in a big playoff game. But, you know, kind of you kind of convinced me, honestly, a couple weeks ago when we were looking at Drew Breeze's playoff records, and we went back and looked, and I was like, yeah, Drew Breeze at home, but that's been like 10 years ago. Like, you can't really keep holding on to that for too long. And then against the Eagles, man, they came out and were flat. They were down 14-0. And if that was a better team than the Eagles, they probably lose that game, but the Eagles just didn't have enough. And even then, it took Alshon Jeffrey dropping a wide-open pass and having it be intercepted to lock up that win. I think the Rams have better players than the Eagles.
Well, here's the thing. We've talked a lot this week about Mahomes and Brady, less about Breeze and Goff. But if your predictions come true and it ends up being Rams, and I know you're on the Chiefs, Goff and Mahomes win, Brady and Breeze do not. That could be the official changing of the guard.
Yeah, man. And even you know, Breeze or Brady's going to have to win the Super Bowl for it not to feel like that. Like, just because if they both win, or if one of them wins this weekend, and you either have Goff or Mahomes still in the Super Bowl, they're going to have to win that round, too.
Well, I just think it's even more drastic, though, if the Rams and Chiefs both win.
Yeah, sure, if they both fail to make the Super Bowl. But it'll go with what I've been talking about all year. I feel like I was one of the first people to really like hammer this out all year was, you know, just the value of having cheaper quarterbacks. The value of having cheaper quarterbacks. I do kind of feel like that now that we're here, we're going to get the two cheaper ones.
You got the two cheaper ones, and because of that, the Chiefs and the Rams both have more star power around those quarterbacks than the Patriots and Saints do, although Brady doesn't eat up too much money.
I love Michael Thomas. I love Alvin Kamara. I think they're awesome. I just think that Michael Thomas is going to be fighting a battle by himself in that wide receiver room going against that secondary. And I feel like Alvin Kamara is going to be fine and be good, but he's not going to be able to run against the middle against this team. I think the Rams win. And in the Chiefs-Patriots, yeah, I think the Chiefs win by at least a touchdown. I think they win by at least a touchdown. I felt that way for all of the year. We're talking about the defenses. The Patriots have the best defense statistically left in the playoffs. The Patriots rank in the top 10 in defensive efficiency. They're 8th. That's the highest of any of these teams remaining. But they're 23rd on the road. Right? And to me, that matters more than their overall rankings. What you did at home doesn't matter to me. New England, it's about what you can do on the road. And you've been a below-average football team on the road, and your defense is below average. And I know you're going to try to take Stephon Gilmore and have him stop Tyreek Hill. He ain't fast enough. And I know you're going to try to take the rest of your secondary guys and play man-to-man defense and try to make them beat you because you feel good about your secondary. I don't think you can stop Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I don't think you can stop the other receivers. I think Sammy Watkins is healthy, and he's fast. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble matching up with this fast-break offense of the Chiefs. Oh, you're quiet now? You're not talking now? That gets you nervous talking about your little Patriots defense being 23rd on the road? You're not going to talk now, tough guy?
I mean, I'm...
Cat got your tongue? What's
I'm
the matter?
I'm pretty well on record. I'm sticking with my two veterans, Brady and Breeze, Patriots Saints.
I've told you all week. If you ask me what defense I have the most confidence in this week, how about this? I got the most confidence in the Chiefs defense this week. They only give up 17 points per game at home? Huh? 17 points per game at home, that's pretty good. Getting Eric Berry back? VFL, by the way. Vol legend Eric Berry.
So is Kamara.
Not on the same level. Not on the same level. Eric Berry never said roll Tide. Eric Berry wasn't partying on the sideline during the SEC championship game on Georgia's sideline. Or was it the SEC championship? not the same thing.
He was on Alabama sideline, right?
Okay, well, he's on the Alabama sideline, maybe, and then for the Sugar Bowl, he tried to be on Georgia sideline.
I mean, he was there with Mark Ingram.
And Kirby kicked him off. That's what happened. That's what happened. Eric Berry
You're not going to get me to say that Alvin Kamara's more beloved than Eric Berry.
That's what you're trying to say.
I'm not going to say that.
Go ahead.
I would never say that. It's not true.
Are you just being the strong silent type because you're confident, or are you the silent type because you're getting scared now that here we are?
Scared?
You've been pretty quiet this
scared
segment.
Scared of rookie Patrick Mahomes?
Second year Patrick Mahomes. Veteran Patrick Mahomes.
He's a rookie. He's a playoff rookie. That's all that matters.
That might be all that matters.
Patrick Mahomes is going to stare across the sideline and see a warrior, Tom Brady, in the cold where he thrives.
You know what's going to happen? Mahomes is going to whip it out. He's going
to
walk over.
You don't
have
to make everything sexual.
No. It is a sword.
Oh.
He's going to whip it out. He's going to walk over. You know what's going to happen? The same fate that happened to another warrior. You remember when Ned Stark was on his knees? No, talking about Ned Stark. You've already seen this.
Yes.
Season 1.
Yes.
Remember when they held him down?
I remember what happened to Ned.
They took the sword and they whoop, chopped the head off.
You're telling me that Patrick Mahomes is going to behead Tom Brady on national television?
Figuratively speaking. Career-wise.
That would be interesting.
Career-wise. Ned Stark, also a great warrior. Every man has their day. They go down. Brady's
day.
It's here. So what are we feeling? Are we putting it on the board?
Yeah, put it on the board.
This will be a double board bet for you, by the way. A double board bet.
Same for you.
Touche. It is a double board bet. You act like
you've got the upper hand here.
I do have the upper hand.
I've got the two best quarterbacks.
Oh, I thought you meant the upper hand in the board bets. I was like, I feel like I've won more.
I don't think you do. It's close.
I think you might be losing because of your offensive coordinator prediction from a month ago.
That one wasn't a real bet.
It was.
You know that wasn't
real. Double board bet. All right, let's set the stakes. We actually have to pay some of these off.
All right, well, what are we going to do for this one?
I don't want to do money.
You made that clear with the last bet, because I still haven't seen that $20 from the Titans not winning 10 games.
I don't want to do the money.
Any day now.
What do you want to do? Give me an idea. A slap? This feels bigger than a slap.
Nah. Slap's easy.
I want something that is not as physical as it is just mentally exhausting.
Something grueling. Something that you have to like commit to do something for a whole day.
Stand outside for 12 hours.
Yeah, it's too cold. It's too cold outside.
Stand outside from 1 p.m. to 1 a.m. after the show on Monday.
No, it's too cold. It's far too cold. But I do like the idea of an all-day commitment.
Something grueling. Like I said, I want it to be physically and mentally exhausting.
So just listening to sports talk for 13 straight hours. Something like that.
Okay. I'll let you come inside. Run the gauntlet here at the station.
Let me. I'm going to lose.
After Patrick Mahomes beheads Tom Brady.
He's not going to kill Tom Brady on TV.
Figuratively speaking, you run the gauntlet. 7 a.m., to 8 p.m. here at the station, you sit in this studio and you do whatever the show needs you to do. So, like, if you're here with me, you'll still
host.
And
you do the same.
Sure.
You do the same.
Now, it might not be Monday. I have some stuff I have to do on Monday, I think.
We should make it Monday.
Okay, I'll see if I have anything to do. I'll make sure I don't have a schedule, but sometime next week.
Well, check your schedule and let's.
It has to be paid next week. It has to be paid next week. A 13-hour gauntlet, 7 a.m., 8 p.m., do whatever the show
is. Oh, you'll be so mad. You will be so mad.
You don't get to leave for lunch. You don't get to leave for anything. 7 a.m., 8 p.m., you're a part of every show.
So all the way up early, in with Nate in Houston for 3 hours, then our regular show, then it's optional, then the drive, and overtime?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It will not be optional for you next week. You will be here for 2 hours.
You keep saying, you're going to lose this bet.
13 hours.
If you think Patrick Mahomes is beating Tom Brady, you are insane.
13 hours.
You're committed to this too, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, like I said, we'll have to figure out a date because I got a couple sales meetings. I got a couple things at the house. I might have to make sure it's the day that fits, but it will be sometime next week. Even if it has to be Friday and Kendall kills me.
Now
we'll pay it off.
Now, do we have to get the other shows to agree to this?
You just, if they want you to run the Periscope, you run the Periscope. If they want you to produce, you produce. If they want you to host, you host. If they want you to just sit in the corner.
I don't produce.
If they want you to sit in the corner and just look, you sit in the corner and just look.
God, what if we co-hosted every show, just talk for 13 hours?
That would be a pretty bad punishment.
Maybe you get to co-host one, get a little more mic time on one than another one, and then another one, they just want you to sit behind the board or, you know. It would be interesting, the gauntlet.
13 hours.
God, that would, it's going to be awful for you.
Do you accept?
I accept. Do you accept is the question. Now, what happens if the Patriots win and the Saints win?
No, this is just the Patriots. This is just the Patriots Chiefs.
Oh, so you're not confident in the Rams Saints?
Well, I mean, no, not, I mean, not willing to put that up. I mean, we can put that on the board if you want.
All right, Patriots Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams win, but I don't have the same level of confidence. I'm very confident, and I've been very confident all year the Chiefs are winning the AFC.
I'll say it. I've said it. I'll say it again. Patriots are going to the Super Bowl.
You got 13 hours riding on it, big boy.
So do you.
You better get in bed early.
Less big boy.
I'm still a big boy, too. God, we're both big boys.
Imagine getting up so early that you come for three and out.
It's a long day.
Whew.
That's a long day, and there's going to be punishments. Like, you have to – this is a very important – this is a very important thing. You cannot show up late. You cannot leave. You have to be a very honorable man or else –
Now, you just have to be in the room, right? So, theoretically, I could sleep through three and out to prepare for Talk Sports.
I guess theoretically, although that's not really in the
– Lay back here behind Nate Houston.
I don't think they'll like you laying here.
I'll lay over here with a pillow.
But I guess if you ask the host for permission and he says, yeah, sure. But you have to be in this room, in this studio, 13 hours. You can take a bathroom break, but you can't leave the you can't leave the premises to go get food, get breakfast, go get Red Bulls, go get coffee.
Well, hang on now.
You're a part of every show. You can do Uber Eats.
I'll have to do my Uber Eats.
You're a part of every show. You can't leave during our show.
You'll have to do the same.
I'll do the same.
I can't wait until this backfires on you.
Secretly, my dream to host 13 hours of radio.
Does seem kind of fun.
Although it will be awful to just sit there and have to listen, and you'll get really hot and stinky. And
now, can you exit the studio, or we got to be in the studio?
You can exit the studio if they go ask you to do some production work out there
to get
some audio ready. But outside of that, no, you can't just sit out there and hang out. You got to be in the studio.
You are basically in jail in the studio.
It's going to be fun. I do love being around my friends.
It's like a sleepover. You might as well bring your tent and just stay here on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Sleep over. You better just hope you don't pick one after a Tennessee basketball game and have to do that extra 2 hours of voluntary action.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Does that count? Does that count to it? 15 hours?
It's just the 13-hour regularly scheduled programming. Well, it's on the board, buddy.
Dill.
It's on the board.
Dill.
This is going to backfire on you so bad.
All year.
This is about to backfire like a Nissan Frontier.
All year long. Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's about to have your ass sitting in here for 13 hours.
Tom won't let me down.
You better park yourself over there. You better park your car in the studio and then park yourself in a chair and sit for 13 hours.
Tom won't let me down.
Because Patty Mahomes is coming in. When they say go Pat, they actually mean go Pat. Go Pat Mahomes. They're about to jump off the Brady bandwagon and ride on to Patrick Mahomes, the future of the NFL. And let me tell you, the future's here and the future starts Sunday night, 6 o'clock.
Let me tell you, buddy, you're relying on a guy who eats ketchup on his mac and cheese.
Our country,
I've got Tom Brady.
Our country is ran by somebody who eats ketchup on steak. Ketchup is the wave of the future.
Well, I'll take Tom Brady. Thank you very much.
Ketchup is the way of the future. If it's good enough for my president, it's good enough for my Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Patty Mahomes and his dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets are not taking down the warrior who is Tom Brady. The seasoned vet will show you.
Hey, Giselle, go ahead and book the private jet, baby. Vacation starting 2 weeks early this year. Giselle. Go ahead and gas up the jet. Get the car ready to go to the airport. It's Optionals up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.